Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later in the hour, we talk with the author of a new book of poetry for married people, think funny love poems, and discuss a new chamber opera company for the Cape. But first, we talk with author Nicole Gallen about her latest book, On the Same Page. The story is set on Martha's Vineyard and highlights some of the struggles between year-round and seasonal residents. Nicole Gallen, welcome back.
Hi, Mindy.
So the book is a bit different than most of your previous books, which have been historical novels. One set in contemporary times, and you did do another contemporary romantic comedy, Stepdog, and the near-future thriller, The Rise and Fall of Dodo, which you co-authored with Neal Stephenson. So what inspired you to write this story that takes place on Martha's Vineyard?
Partly because it's sort of fun to talk about where one comes from. I found when I was writing historical fiction that in some ways it was emotionally autobiographical. Like I was definitely working out stuff on a big screen archetypal level. But it was always a challenge to feel like I really belonged in the place that I was writing about. Imagination and historical empathy can only go so far. Ultimately, we're sort of chronicling someone else's story. And I love the vineyard. I missed it when I didn't live there for years in my younger adult years. And I just missed, I wanted an excuse to hang out there psychologically as well as physically. Mm-hmm. And indulge myself in it. One of the premises of the book is that there are two independently owned newspapers on the vineyard that don't get along very well, which is true.
Right.
And I thought, as soon as I heard that, when I moved back here 12 years ago or something, someone was explaining to me the disconnect between them, and I thought, that is so silly. That would make a great novel. But at the time, I was only writing historical fiction, so I thought, well, that's someone else needs to write that novel. I don't do that sort of thing.
We'll put it on the back burner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then there were some issues that I feel I need to discreetly keep very vague that actually happened politically in the town of mm-hmm. West Tisbury over a decade ago.
Yeah.
And as those things were unfolding, I thought, and were being covered differently in the new two newspapers, I thought, wow, that would be a really interesting story to juxtapose mm-hmm. with the story of the two newspapers. But I don't write contemporary fiction, so...
Well, now you do.
Now I do, right.
So the story takes place in the off-season, which, as we all know, is very different than the summer season.
Yes.
So you, in a way, we see a bit of the conflict between... the two populations, if you will.
Yes, the winter population and the summer population.
Yeah. So Joanna is a freelance writer who's living mm-hmm. in New York City, and she comes back to the island after her uncle has an accident. And her uncle, we should say, kind of a curmudgeon-y guy, right?
That is a phrase that comes up a lot when that character is described. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't help but thinking, as we look at Joanna and Uncle Hank, are these based on real people?
They're certainly inspired mm-hmm. by real people. I mean, I suppose I could just say that Joanna is a younger version of me. Not exactly, but I'm from the vineyard. I left. I'm a writer. I would always seek opportunities to come back before I came back. And people who know me well recognize elements of someone I love a lot and am very close to in the character of Hank.
And would other characters in the book, would people on the island say, I think that's so-and-so?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, they might because people read into things what they wish to read into things. I would say that the character of her best friend is three or four individuals melded together enough that, you know, blue and red don't really look like purple.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the others I think of really as just archetypal vineyard characters.
Right. So as you mentioned, two newspapers on the island. And of course, in your story, they are The News and The Journal.
Yes.
But you base them on the real...
On the Martha's Vineyard Times and the Gazette.
Yes. And, you know, what type of audience they each have. And it's in real life, each paper has its fan base and its critics. And so the same thing happens in your book. So this rivalry between the two papers in your story, how have people been responding to that?
People that know about the vineyard scene just go, oh, yeah, it's just a given. People that don't, off-islanders that have commented on it, have said, is that real, though? I mean, is that like, first of all, are there two independently owned newspapers on this tiny community? That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And do they really, like, is that real? So yeah, it's either absolute, of course, or complete disbelief. And there's sort of nothing between them.
So for your research, you actually shadowed a vineyard reporter.
Actually, it's crazier than that. I actually write for I write a column for the Martha's Vineyard Times. I used to write for the Gazette. Mm-hmm. Now I write for the Times. I'm very fond of both papers. I think they each have a lot of strengths. I would not have written this if it was intended to be a slam of one or the other. It's because I respect them both so much that it's silly to me that they have the rivalry that they do. Anyway, because I write for a column for the Times, I know everyone on staff there, and I wanted to shadow. So I asked my editor, may I shadow whoever it is that does the West Tisbury beat? And her response was, actually, that person is on vacation. Could you just handle the West Tisbury beat yourself?
Oh, that and happens
said,
in the book.
Yeah, exactly. I said, this is very strange. That's what happens in the book. And she said, well, clearly it's just destined to work out then. Although I have to say, in all fairness, I don't think that I am a natural for covering it. I write pretty easily. I've written in a bunch of different genres. I've written for both papers. I'm pretty adaptable as a writer. The thing that is the hardest writing I have ever done, even harder than my undergraduate dissertation in comparative religion, the hardest thing was covering government in the town I grew up in.
That does not surprise me. So Joanna finds herself in this sticky situation where she ends up writing for both papers under two different identities, using two distinct voices. How on earth are you going to pull that off in the winter on Martha's Vineyard, right? So she needs the money.
Yes.
So that's why she's doing it.
Yeah.
And again, she has a connection to people
each
paper, which is, again, not that unbelievable.
Right.
And what I thought was interesting was when she decides to do that, and she has these two different names. And again, you're going, somebody's going to recognize this. It's a name she used as a teenager. And then it's, of course, a shortened, she goes by Anna Holmes,
right,
and the other one. So coming up with this, you can see how this is going to be tough for her to pull this off. And this meeting she goes to, a zoning board meeting, she decides to ask her friend to come with her,
yes,
to dress a little bit alike so that the video that they'll see,
yes,
looks like there's two reporters there.
Right. Yes.
Because they might be the only ones in,
yes,
the audience.
She is there twice,
yeah,
even,
yeah,
though there's only one of her. Right.
Yeah.
So there were my original thought about it is that there would be a lot more ridiculous hijinks like that, that it would be a story mostly about false identity and the extreme ends that she would go to. But the fact of the matter is that on the vineyard, the people that are going to pay that much attention would either pay so much attention that she would be caught and then that would be the end of the story, or they would sort of go, and then be distracted by something else.
Yeah. So Orion Smith is a summer resident, kind of the
seasonal, yes,
right, lots of money. And the issue here is he wants to land his helicopter at his house. And when I read that, I went, hey, wait a second. That actually happened. And that was an actual news story.
Yes.
Actually,
it happened three times in Edgartown.
Yeah, yeah.
Not in West Tisbury, yeah, but in Edgartown.
So I had to, yes, go back and look. Wait, what? So there's so much of the book that mirrors reality.
Yes.
With the issues, and you feel like you're, you know, in a real zoning board meeting, the meetings seem very accurate for what happens in our small towns in the wintertime. Did you know about that news story when you wrote the book, or was it just coincidence that actually has happened?
It was essentially coincidence. I came up with the idea for it, and then I went to speak to somebody who I thought could help me with some legal elements, who said, well, you do know that this happened three times in the town of Edgartown. That's not the first time that I've made up things that turned out to actually be true. That's actually sort of a theme of my entire writing life. But in this particular case, I think that anything that I had invented about outrageous things that very wealthy summer people do, anything that I would have invented has probably happened.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, too. She meets him at a meeting. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know this is Orion Smith when they first start chatting.
Correct.
And then, you know, he gets up to speak and she's like, oh, boy. And there's an attraction there.
Yes.
But, you know, He's a tad cocky.
Yes. Yes, he is. That scene is, more than any other single scene in the book, the closest to being an event that actually happened. The person that is Orion Smith in real life was not as attractive, and there was not that much chemistry because there was not that much interaction. But I was at the meeting representing not the wealthier side of things. And he walked in, gave me the eye. There was a moment between us. And then someone said, well, you know who that is. And I just turned it off. I was like, I can't go there. But a part of me thought, I should play along with this.
Let's let Joanna go there, your character in the book. So Joanna does go there. And,
yes.
And she's got this inner turmoil. She's got this boyfriend back in New York who she's, how do you describe their relationship?
It was cooling anyway. It was in one of those moments of transition that's either going to be a make or break. And break is too strong a word for what happens, but they don't have... There's not enough cohesion between them for, as he says, you want a monogamous relationship with a place, and that place is Martha's Vineyard. And it's hard to be in a relationship with someone off island if you're that committed to being on the vineyard, although she's in denial about the fact that that's what's going on with her.
Right. Things do start to unfold for her in the sense that she can't keep these secret identities from everybody. So there are a couple people who do catch on.
Yes.
And I love when I won't give away everything, but I'll just talk about Helen. Helen, she is worried that Helen will catch on. And of course, Helen does. And Helen is a little bit upset with her for doing this. But then she says her inner bad girl is rooting for her.
Yes.
And I love it. You have a line in there where Joanna says something to her about, I didn't know you had an inner bad girl. And she says every woman who's successful has some inner bad girl in her. So tell us about Helen.
Helen is one of those characters that's an archetype. There are a number of women who, upon reading it, might think, is this me? Or someone else might think, is this that particular person? But she really is sort of intended to be an archetypal character who is a wash ashore, that's a vineyard term for someone that wasn't born there, but has really owned her identity as an islander. She is the chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals. She is very invested in the community and both spiritual and economic well-being of the island, which is becomes a trickier and trickier thing to do as we move further and further into the 21st century for everybody. Mm-hmm. And she really represents my memory of what vineyarders were like in the 70s. Mm. So she still espouses a lot of those values, but she's also a realist.
So she is actually, Joanna gets this assignment on the same page. So tell us what the assignment is. And Helen is one of her first
Yes. So on the same page is a premise. I completely made this up. This isn't something either paper does, but I sort of wish they would because I like the idea that things that happened in the past essentially repeat on some thematic level. And so on this, literally on the same page of the paper, it's the news. It's the one that corresponds to the Gazette. And the Gazette does do a lot of stuff with history. That there is an article that's pulled from the archives, and then there is a contemporary article that's a feature, and they are thematically connected, whether it has to do with shipping or women in political position or technology coming to the island. It's a then and now page.
So the idea here with the rivalry between the two papers, the reason Joanna has to do this is because somebody has a rule that they will not hire a freelancer if they're working for the other paper. And it's interesting because when she's asking the editor of the news, they say it's the Journal and the Journal says it's the news. What is it in real life? Do we know?
No. But it is true.
It's the same thing.
When I heard that, that's when I thought, this is a book waiting to happen. I just didn't think that it was supposed to be my book. But after 10 years, no one had pounced on that. And I thought, well, I got to go for it. That's just such great material.
Has anybody from the papers read it and told you what they thought about this?
I ran the first draft by people at the Times because I do work there. And, I didn't want to upset anyone. And there were a few objections to some characterizations, and I adapted them. I shifted it. I genuinely do not believe that there is anything offensive right. towards no, either I didn't paper see in either offensive. One. Yeah.
It was just more kind of interesting.
I'm sure that I will get some pushback somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
I'd almost be disappointed if I didn't.
All right. So Joanna meets this Orion Smith at this meeting, and she makes a date with him. It's coffee.
Yeah.
But he says, well, how about a drink? She goes, let's start with coffee.
Right.
And she's very much, I'll buy my own coffee. He invites her to his house. She brings her own coffee. She won't even have a piece of his gingerbread.
Right.
But it's interesting the conversations that they have because they both bring up good points on, you know, he wants his helicopter to land there and he doesn't understand why he can't do it. He's gonna less traffic, right?
He's got it figured out,
and you know, and Joanna has her arguments, and it's interesting to hear what the logic is behind both points of view, and then you've got Hank,
right? Well, in some ways, Joanna is in the middle between Hank and Orion, mm-hmm. And I hope that's the intention, anyway. That's how I see myself in that particular, you know, there are a lot of curmudgeonly working class Yankees in my life. I grew up amidst them, and I'm also friendly and familiar and comfortable with wealthy seasonal residents, none of whom are quite as stubborn in their sense of entitlement as Orion. I do think mm-hmm. that he is cocky in his sense of I deserve whatever I want.
That's right.
But there are plenty of those. We have plenty of those.
Absolutely. So really, this is a story of half-truths, right, that we tell ourselves, and especially when there is some kind of attraction. I mean, Joanna, she sees what's happening here, yet she just can't help herself, can
yeah,
she?
Yeah, that's sort of a... Yeah. Geraldine Brooks very sweetly wrote a lovely blurb that the publisher forgot to print on book jacket. But the thing that she said that I love, that I would never have credited myself with, but she said it's sort of like Pride and Prejudice that way.
Hmm.
Pride and Prejudice for the Bumble generation. And I would like to think that it deserves that yeah. there is a sense of I'm infuriated by this person of much higher status, and yet I'm so drawn to them that I'm going to make choices both in opening up to them and in withdrawing from them, what I'm hiding and what I'm sharing, yeah. that is based on my attraction, regardless of what my head is telling me to do.
Right. And I am not going to give away any more of the story. You'll have to read the book to find out what happens. On the same page, we'll have a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Nicole Gallen, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up after a break, love poems for married people.